Welcome to Shrink Wrap, a podcast where Fran and Becky give proper respect to various mental health and wellness topics
while adding in a little bit of smart assery that they just can't seem to contain.
This podcast cannot and does not constitute therapy advice.
However, we do hope that you find the information we share with you helpful and entertaining.
Please be advised that this podcast discusses topics that can be sensitive to some listeners. Use appropriate discretion.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome.
We're both sitting on our phones.
I know. Oh, my God.
I got one quick text, I promise.
Oh, my God. Boom. We are doing a podcast, people.
Disconnect to reconnect, friends. I mean,
just before I hit the go button, I said, everybody good? Yeah. And they're like, yep, let's do it.
Yeah.
And then we're waiting for Becky to send a tweet. That's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Are you all done? Is this something you want to share with the class? Are you good?
No, okay. You can tune into my Twitter if you want to see what it was.
Oh, my God. Your Twitter? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay,
I didn't know. As much action as my Twitter.
Oh, my God.
And there we went. Ba-dum-bum.
Oh, Lord. What are we talking about?
Munchausen by proxy. I love this so much.
You do?
I do. I'm geeking out about it.
It's okay. Not only fun, but it's fun to say. Like, yes. I feel like you have to do it like an old German scientist. Munchausen by proxy.
Oh, my God. Now, listen, because I just Googled this. Guess where the term came from?
From Baron von Munchausen.
Well, how did you? Yeah. Oh,
I was
you
gonna say,
just Googled
I
go- it, too.
I Googled it this morning.
Oh, my God.
I figured it was Dr. Munchausen.
Yeah, I knew it was after somebody.
Not, he's actually an aristocrat, and he became.
Was exaggerated.
Yes, he just called these tall tales, and so that's where it came from.
Because Munchausen would be when you feign illness in yourself for attention.
Right.
So exaggerate.
Wait. So they named the disease after somebody who was an example of the disease?
Like, you're being such a Munchausen. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't really have the disease. He was just an exaggerator.
That's,
made shit up.
Lou Gehrig's disease, I suppose, is
but he really did.
But yeah.
I don't know if Munchausen had Munchausen.
Sorry, Gehrig family. I'm not
trying. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, now to throw a curveball, it's not even called that anymore, is it, Becky?
No, we'll get to that. You can do your factoid.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Frantastic Factoid.
Many individuals have both Munchausen syndrome and Munchausen syndrome by proxy. So you got both at the same time. You just won the lottery. Okay. According to Psychiatric Times, 30 to 70% of those who make up illness in their kids.
Yeah, I'm just waiting.
I know. Brody's I know these hard and fact stats. This is a legit source. It's not FransFullOfBullshit.com. Okay. According to Psychiatric Times.
It's quite a range, though.
0 to 100% of the cases.
Of those with Munchausen by syndrome by proxy describe that when they were teenagers, they also caused illness in themselves.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
So what the heck is it? So as Fran said, and I just learned this morning, because this is an extremely rare disorder. So I'd like to say I've never misdiagnosed it because I've never had to diagnose it.
Yeah.
But it's now called factitious disorder imposed on another. So again, factitious disorder, when you exaggerate or feign illness in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever gains, and then imposed on another. It's also been called medical child abuse. That's how how some doctors would classify it.
I mean, that's certainly what it is, but it's not nearly as fun to say.
So, but
right, true.
If we're going to call it Munchausen by proxy just because that's the name it's known by for right now. And it's when individuals with the disorder make up diseases in others, usually their children, in order to get attention from others. These fabricated disorders can include failure to thrive, allergies, asthma, vomiting, diarrhea, seizures, cancer, and other serious health conditions.
Blech.
And I've got a list that we'll get to in a little bit
of
four really semi-famous cases of it.
People, by proxy or the actual where they did it themselves?
A couple of them are both.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everything I looked up was
by
proxy.
They fall into the 30 to 70%.
They do. It was weird. What a coincidence. said it's the two of the ones I found.
Rory cannot help himself. His whole body is just laughing.
The one statistics class I was forced to take in college, and now it comes back to say 30 to 70% is not a relevant sample group. That's ridiculous.
All right, take it up with the APA. All right, dude. All right. So, but it's not just in kids. Like, they can also feign illnesses, like, in their elderly parents, in their pets. People, leave your damn pets and kids alone, in disabled people.
But your grandparents, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, the neighbors next door. That's Fran, totally fine.
Kids and pets. I think it's just because they're so helpless.
And vulnerable,
So are elderly. And, well, yeah, all of these populations are pretty vulnerable, which is what makes it so creepy.
I know.
Munchausen's by proxy, again, is relatively rare. Only about 1% meet the criteria. But it's so awful. And we really don't... we really don't know because they lie. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody walks in and says, yep, that's me. And in fact, some of the cases we're going to talk about, to this day, they're saying, I don't have that.
Right.
My kid was really that ill.
Oh, yeah. This is one of those diagnoses. Talk about zero insight. I mean, they're going to go to their grave saying, absolutely, my kid has this.
Yeah.
Total denial.
Oh, my gosh. There's a super hot chick trying to enter the studio right now.
Oh, my gosh.
What are you doing?
Oh, we have super protein balls being delivered.
Brian's delivering Brody's balls.
Oh my god. Seriously, there are balls in a cup for Brody. Oh,
they're for me? Why?
She put them in a cup for him.
Aww. Are they laced with any special ingredients?
I mean, not that I know.
Okay, well.
It'd be better if they did.
Okay.
We'll see if I remember tonight.
can I eat one of your balls? I was dead serious. They look delicious. Okay. So
this is so off the rails. I don't even know what's going on.
What if she poisoned him and then he's going to get really, really sick?
See?
So she can get the attention from her colleagues.
Yep.
Oh. But if I ate one of the balls, then you would be.
Mark would be there as a first. Number one.
God.
Okay. Come on.
I was just going to go full Saturday Night Live with it. Those look like delicious balls.
We are a legitimate mental health podcast.
We sure are.
We have totally gone off the cliff.
Okay, here you go.
Okay, where am I now? Okay.
Dig two.
But it's super, super hard to detect because... let's say your kid, you're feigning this illness in your kid and you don't like the fact the doctor is saying you're full of bullshit, your kid's fine, then you just simply go to another facility, another doctor, another state. So how do you even know?
Well, what a great time to talk about Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Oh, let's do it.
I hoped you would because it's such a good story.
For those of you that don't know, Gypsy Rose is a young lady.
Which is a ridiculous name. Let's just be honest about that.
I think she's 19 or 20 now.
Older than that.
You're right. But not a lot older. I think she's in her early 20s.
That makes sense.
However, her mom, Dee Dee, would...
a ridiculous name. Sorry.
It's just
sorry,
one of them.
Would you just settle down? What is going on?
Where are they from?
It was originally Louisiana.
There it is.
Yep. She would isolate Gypsy away from her biological father, feign all these illnesses, pulled her teeth, shaved her head so it looked like she was going through cancer treatments.
Mm-hmm. Kept her in a wheelchair.
Kept her in a wheelchair. Yeah, for 19 years.
Like Make-A-Wish Foundation and then, stuff. Yes. Like the whole deal.
Hurricane Katrina happened, and that's speaking to what you just said. So then she moved to, I think, Missouri and got housing under Hurricane Katrina relief, but then also said, all her medical records are gone. And then somebody in Missouri said, I think this is Munchausen's by proxy, one of the physicians, but never reported it. Back in 2009.
Mandatory reporting,
He didn't think there was enough evidence. Which, again, that's up to the prosecutors, people. If you suspect it, report it and let them sort it out. But, and then... is that where they ended up, maybe? I don't even know.
That sounds right.
Disney trips, concerts, helicopter rides, all of these donated free of charge.
Wow.
Because they were just like, oh, Dee Dee, you are such an amazing mom.
Such a caring
Look at
mother.
You.
Yes.
Look at you. And so for those of you that don't know how it ended.
Spoilers.
Dee Dee's no longer with us. I'm upset by it because Gypsy Rose did get 10 years in prison. Although she will be eligible for parole next year in 2024. Mm-hmm. But I'm like 19 years
of
abuse.
Because she got her boyfriend to kill her, right?
Yep.
Kill the mother.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then posted, as only a 19-year-old would, the bitch is fucking dead.
Yeah, but you know what?
You know, so don't put that on social media,
but
people.
She did not function as a 19-year-old. She had no exposure to the real world whatsoever.
She was homeschooled. Yep.
Yeah, homeschooled my ass.
Yeah.
She was functioning like literally maybe a preteen, if that.
And if she threatened to not go along with things, supposedly, according to her reports, her mom would withhold food and water, would lock her in this little shed.
Wow.
It had a cot and stuff, but I mean, if you can't
then
leave.
Then it's okay.
It wasn't like a basement with spiders and rats, but she couldn't leave.
Yeah. You're right. It was a shed. There's no spiders and rats in a shed.
Right. True.
So the documentary is called Mommy Dead and Dearest.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's on HBO. And then, but they did a.
There's one on Investigation Discovery.
And then there's like a mini series, though, that they did about it too.
I think so.
I thought that was Mommy Dead and Dearest.
No, it's a full on documentary, but they did like a docudrama.
That's what I watched.
So, yeah, maybe I'll look it up.
Yeah, Gypsy Rose Blanchard. So, if you just Google that, you should find it fascinating. So, if it's so misleading, how can we identify it? Often the syndrome is missed because the caregiver seems to be loving and caring and genuinely concerned about their child's illness.
But the caregiver is actually making the kids sicker. And what's really creepy is a lot of times these people are actually healthcare workers themselves.
Yes.
So they know how to do it.
Yes.
And they get super pissed when the doctor says, hey, nothing's wrong. Yeah.
And here's some things they might be doing, like shocker, lie about the child's illness.
And manipulating the test. So they might actually take a urine sample and let's just add some blood to it or something like that.
I've got another one for that. Falsify medical records.
Poisoning, suffocating, starving. Oh, this is my personal favorite. Injecting feces or causing infection.
Are we ready?
Sure.
Hope Ibarra in 2009, I believe, is from Utah. Both of her kids. Oh, no, this is a different. There's so many.
but it's only 1% of the population.
She was like a bio something technician. Like she worked in a lab.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had a daughter and she claimed that the first daughter had cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
But then when her second daughter was born, extremely premature, and she got all the attention for this,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, daughter number one, cerebral palsy, was completely cured.
It was healed. It was a miracle. Yeah.
As a newborn said that her daughter had a swallowing issue and had a feeding tube inserted.
Oh, God.
Would use salt to get false positives on a cystic fibrosis test.
Oh.
Right? And then this is the kicker. So she also claimed her own. So this she also had Munchausen's. So she claimed she had cancer during one of her treatments. The mother did.
Yeah.
So the mother said, I have cancer. And then she got pregnant with twins while she had cancer and then miscarried the twins, named them, had a funeral for them. But she never had cancer. And they don't think she was ever pregnant.
Oh, my God.
With twins. But in the lab she worked at, she ordered the pneumonia pathogen.
Yeah.
And infected her daughter with it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Now, once they got the daughter, in a lot of these cases, once you get the kid out of the care, they miraculously
heal.
Yeah,
they're
they
fine.
Really do. There was one, Blanca Montano. She would infect her kids with fecal matter.
Mm.
They would test positive for E. coli. Her 7-month-old daughter never got better from it, mm-hmm. had her treated for 9 rare and unusual disorders. Mom insisted that they do a bone marrow biopsy.
Oh,
those
God.
Are so painful. And then they installed a camera in the hospital room and they caught mom putting the IV in her mouth to contaminate it, putting salt in things to make her sick. And then the last one that I'm just going to talk about, Lacey Spears in 2014. She was or is a blogger, so everything was on social media.
Mm-hmm.
She documented her son Garnet, who was around 5-ish, about all these various illnesses. He died at 5, unfortunately, from toxic levels of sodium. And she had given his feeding bag to mm-hmm. a neighbor and said, get rid of this. But supposedly, the neighbor said no or turned it into authorities. And there was the equivalent of 69 packets of salt.
Oh, my God.
Supposedly. And she did get 20 years to life. And so I found these rollingstone.com. So if you want to take a look, you can just Google those. But it's to me, this is so fascinating.
And I really would have to say, I think 1% is an underestimate.
I
just
agree.
Think it is very, because look, we have an idea in our society that a mother mm-hmm. is nurturing and a caregiver. When we hear that a mom like murders their kids for whatever reason,
right?
You know, it's very hard for us to accept that as a society, or when a mother is intentionally abusing their child in any way. I just think that we make excuses sometimes.
I think we do. Yeah. And I think we're more willing to believe whatever story they're telling.
Right.
And, you know, be it good or bad. And this
with,
is bad.
Gypsy Rose, it's The Act on Hulu.
There we go.
Thank you. Thank you.
So diagnosing this, when it does get diagnosed, individuals with Munchausen by proxy manipulate doctors by creating symptoms in their children. So again, the sodium, the fecal matter. So diagnosing this can be very, very difficult.
Yeah. And like we talked about before, I mean, denial, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what they hear. They absolutely, the doctor is wrong. Mm-hmm. The tests are wrong. My child is sick.
Yep. And I suppose in their brain, they are being mom of the year by advocating and going, what an illness.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Uh-oh. We're just going to unpack it. So if you are putting 70 packets of salt into your kid's feeding bag, but then you know they're going to have to go to the doctor, like what kind of mental gymnastics are you doing knowing that you're they know that they're poisoning them. They're not saying, no, there's salt in there. It's good for them. It's not that type of thing. But what... that's where it gets wrapped up. That's what's the fascinating thing about it, I guess, is how do you square those
in your
things?
Head, right.
I mean, in my mind, I equate it almost to like a schizophrenia. Like you have to be having some sort of psychotic break to rationalize this in your head, like what you were saying. I don't know if that's true, but that's how I think of it. I don't, because you can't rationalize it.
Yeah, there's no way to rationalize it. I mean, the desire, the absolute drive and obsession with getting attention trumps everything else.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Is it attention, do you think, or is it like the need to be relied upon? Right.
I think it's attention.
You think so?
Attention. And also they really get off on proving that someone that's smarter than them, like a doctor, is wrong. They want to prove that this doctor doesn't know what they're talking about.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, Becky, why is the Northern State University graduate program in counseling so awesome?
I could go on forever, but let's talk about the fact that you can get a clinical degree where you can work in private practice or an agency, or you can get a school counseling degree on the school track where you can work in a school as private school, parochial school, public school, any school you want to. And then my favorite.
What?
Forensic counseling.
Super cool. Yes. But is it K-CREB approved?
It is K-CREB approved. And you're like, what does that mean? You know what? It means that it has the gold standard of grad schools.
Super awesome. But can I afford it? Because I don't have a lot of money.
It's okay. If you go to northern.edu, you can apply for some scholarships. They have a couple of counseling specific scholarships in addition to some other really fantastic scholarships that a guidance counselor or a admissions counselor can help you with.
Awesome. Be Northern, unleash your potential, baby.
And so what I thought was interesting, too, is that like with today's technology where records can be sent everywhere, this is why it's really important to take those 5 minutes and read the records from somewhere else, whether they're psychological records or medical records. Because if you get a kid in and they've had multiple hospitalizations, multiple records, different cities, you got to pay attention to that. What's going on here?
And I'm hoping now that a lot of places have gone to electronic medical records that, you know, that will catch this even sooner.
Right.
I don't know if it will, but I hope it does. They can also present with strange set of symptoms that can't be identified or understood by healthcare professionals. So it's always that super rare illness.
Mm-hmm. And that it's always getting worse, but guess what? Nobody else sees it.
Or once they go in the hospital.
Yeah, it only happens when the healthcare workers aren't around.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
So yeah, when they're in the hospital, typically they will improve. But once they go home, boom, symptoms are back.
Right. And the illness doesn't respond to any kind of treatment whatsoever. Nothing.
These are red flags, people. And it's not a county fair, okay? These are red flags. Test results are unusual or even clinically impossible and don't match the child's reported condition or symptoms. So if you're a medical doctor and you're seeing stuff that doesn't make sense, it might not make sense.
Right. Or if that parent is like absolutely adamant, we're doing more tests, we're retesting, we're doing different tests. Now, there are certain reasons why parents do need to advocate for their children. We're looking at the whole cluster of these things combined.
Yeah. Yeah. And of this cluster, these are the outliers. These are the ones that, yeah, you're not going to come across, but ew.
And that's certainly interesting, though, isn't it? Because, like, as doctors, I think it was on Scrubs, I've heard the line around the medical community that if you hear hoofbeats, yep, it's probably a horse. It's not a zebra.
Yeah.
Or not a unicorn, right? And so, I mean, you two have to deal with that as well. Like, just because you're seeing one or two things doesn't mean that it's schizophrenia, right, or it's multiple, right, personality disorder or whatever.
Right.
But the doctors have to deal with that sort of same thing with this, right? Yep. Rare things are rare for a reason, mm-hmm, but I mean, there's always a chance, right?
And I was going to say, I suppose as a physician, you don't want to be the person that poo-pooed the rare thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then it really ends up being the rare thing. Mm-hmm. So it would be hard.
Right.
They will, as I stated in some of these ladies' backgrounds, inject chemicals and other foreign substances in their child's blood, stool, or urine. And sometimes it will be stool.
Yeah.
That gets,
For real. And even if the tests come back negative, guess what? New symptoms pop up.
The family has experienced other unusual illnesses or death of children in the family. There's one I didn't list, and it's like supposedly the most famous Munchausen by proxy, but mm-hmm, it happened, oh gosh, I want to say in the 50s maybe, but this woman had child after child after child,
yes,
after child.
Yes, Tillis, her name is. Yeah.
Yes. And they all passed away.
Yeah, and then she later admitted it,
mm-hmm,
and said, yeah, it was me. Blood samples can come back by parents that don't match the blood of the child.
What?
There's a whoops.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, how does that happen?
Because the parent must somehow give their blood instead of the kids. Or who knows, the blood of some, maybe their dog. Who the hell knows? I don't know.
Boy, that's some mind-bending shit.
I know.
Parents insist the child is sick, even when told otherwise. And there can be surgical scars on your child from past interventions. Look like a bone marrow biopsy.
And this next one is a huge red flag, not mm-hmm, only for medical issues, again, psychological issues. Like, I've had cases before where I feel like something's sketchy and I'll ask the parent, I need you to sign a release to the school or to their previous therapist. Absolutely not. If they are not giving you permission to get collateral information, there is a red flag right there. And these people do not want to sign any releases to anyone.
Oh, my goodness.
So what causes this syndrome? Like we talked about, the attention and wanting to prove doctors to be idiots, apparently.
That sympathy, like, oh, how do you do it?
Yes.
How do you do it?
Life is so hard.
Ugh. And again, as like I say, I feel like Grandpa Simpson over here, but fucking online. But at one point, you had to get attention in person, you know, from a handful of people. Now you can get attention online from thousands or millions.
Right. And to GoFundMe.
Yes.
Right.
They often manage to procure monetary donations, free gifts and trips for their quote unquote sick children.
Wow.
And then I think there's all these people of kids who are truly sick,
mm-hmm,
who want to do the Make-A-Wish or whatever it might be. And yeah, it's just gross.
Yeah. So what really causes it? It could be, like so many things. It's a combination of biology and environmental factors, 50-50. But interestingly enough, with this, MRI scans show that there are some abnormalities in the brain structure of people with this diagnosis.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And this isn't a shocker. A history of abuse or neglect as a child. They may have come from families in which being sick was a way to get love.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got no attention.
Unless you were
one of my coworkers was just talking at lunch today. She goes, I never know if she's joking or not, but she said supposedly she like broke her leg or broke her ankle,
mm-hmm,
and her mom was at work and her mom's like, go take that Tussin and lie down.
The Tussin. Oh my God.
Didn't matter what happened. You went home and took the Tussin.
Oh God. My grandma used to make me, I used to get strep throat all the time and mm-hmm, my mom would never give me an antibiotic because my mom is one of those weirdos that would never.
Interesting. Yes. Go on.
Yeah. No, I know. She did not vaccinate me. I had no vaccinations. I had no antibiotics. Oh, I think she was trying to kill me.
Actually, say more about that.
So my grandma, Nana, would be like, she would heat up whiskey and she would mix it with lemon,
mm-hmm,
and I'd have to gargle that shit.
Yeah.
That was, and it went on and on and on. I had strep throat for, I think, the entire of my sixth grade. It was terrible.
Do you remember camphor salve that came in a little tin?
No. Oh,
do you know
what is it?
You're too young to know what I'm talking about.
I figured Fran would be like, I remember their 50th anniversary when you were talking about they went from lead to tin at that point.
They did. It was this tin, and it was like camphor was like Vicks in a way, but it smelled worse.
Oh.
And that was my grandma. We're going to put that on your chest and your feet whenever you were sick.
Uh-huh. I had Vicks. Yeah. Vicks was always stuck up my nose. She'd stick it up my nose.
The soles of the feet, that's what we did it with our kids a couple times. I don't know, it always seemed gross. I don't know if it helped or not, but
I don't know. It's super weird.
Okay, we're back to off the rails here. Okay, the possible causes, very low self-esteem or an inflated sense of self-image.
Difficult childhood relationship with parents.
Lots of guilt, thinking they have to be punished for something.
And then frequent illnesses requiring hospitalization as a child. So as a result, they attempt to relive the experience again and again because they were unable to cope with it. So they might have been really sick as a kid.
Right. And there is not causal, but correlational indication that sometimes these people also have like borderline personality or narcissistic personality disorder, something like that. And they use substances and they have a higher likelihood of often like dying by suicide. And maybe it's because there is guilt, which makes me think that there is some hope for
Or that they know what they're doing.
That's where I went. So sometimes instead of called Munchausen's by proxy or factitious disorder imposed on another, it's called medical child abuse. Most victims of Munchausen syndrome by proxy are preschoolers. However, some cases, like in Gypsy Rose, involved older teens and young adults, and both boys and girls can be victims.
You know, I want to reiterate what you said earlier, because that just bugs the hell out of me. The fact that the doctor did not report it, because it is so critical. It's like any mandatory reporter out there, whether you're a doctor or a psychologist, counselor, social worker, whatever, you don't have to have proof, people. You have to have a suspicion. There is a very reasonable suspicion that something is amiss. You are not the investigator. Your job is to report it and let, like Becky said, the investigator, CPS, the police, the prosecutor determine whether or not abuse actually took place.
Because in my world, and I don't know if it's accurate, but this is how it goes in my world, there's now a paper trail.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's other things that pop up that, you know, maybe the teacher makes a report that I'm seeing this and this. And they're like, oh, now we've got the doctor's report. We've got the teacher's report. So I should always just report.
Right. It lends more validity to things like that. I agree. Here's what's really scary is that once the parent is actually charged, like criminally charged for medical abuse, this is when the child is really in danger, because now that parent is going to prove this kid is really sick. So that's when CPS is likely to pull them out of the home to prevent that from happening. And they also may be giving the kid medical power of attorney to somebody else to make sure they're getting appropriate medical care. They say you should have individual and family therapy, but you know, the likelihood of this being fixed is pretty not good. I mean, it's not a good prognosis.
It's a lot to bounce back from.
Yeah.
It really is. If you do have concerns about a child, you know, please, 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 you guys, report it to your child protective services agency. Even if you want to do it anonymously, they will allow you to do that. So more examples, because this all just fascinates me. When cameras were placed in some children's hospital rooms, some perpetrators were filmed switching medications, injecting their kids with urine to cause an infection. Like I said, injecting, I've heard of feces being put in the IV.
Ew.
Yep. And placing drops of blood in urine specimens.
Okay, so let me ask about this. Like, when you say cameras are placed in the hospital rooms, like, is that pretty common now? Like, is that, you know, like in...
I don't think so. I mean, I'm going back to when I worked on the behavioral health unit. We had camera rooms where people who needed the extra monitoring would get put in those rooms versus non-camera rooms. But I don't think it's a common... I don't know. Your wife works at a hospital. What do you know about it?
I was there for three births of children and never saw a camera. I mean, HIPAA, I would think there's no cameras. So the situation that you're describing seems like they had suspicions.
Right.
Yeah.
And then placed a camera. Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious about that. Not that I don't know why I wouldn't be opposed to it, but it's like, I,
With HIPAA, I don't think that there's probably any cameras in any hospital rooms.
Okay. So what's the treatment for Munchausen by proxy? The first step is to stop the individual's behaviors and protect the kid. Really, this is more about...
That's the first step.
Yes, okay. That is protecting the child.
The disorder is difficult to treat in therapy because, again, most people don't think they did anything wrong with this disorder. If they do agree to treatment, cognitive behavioral therapy is the treatment of choice, helping them change their thinking and behaviors. And therapy can help them learn how to channel negative emotions in ways that do not involve harming themselves or children. Again, going back to what you said, though, my fear is it's so deeply ingrained.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a tough one.
Right. But that doesn't mean people shouldn't try.
Absolutely.
It would be, I think, a lot more research needs to be done on this.
And always hope.
Yes. Okay. Medication is usually not effective. And what's, think about this. You give them medication, they may use it to hurt themselves, use it to poison their kids. You got to be really, really careful about this. Yes, they may have depression and anxiety, but it's like you have to weigh the pros and cons of handing them over a prescription medication.
That could harm other people.
Yeah.
So for a child who's old enough to understand what's happening, the psychological damage can be significant. The child may feel they will only be loved when sick, so they may help the parent to try and deceive doctors. They might use self-abuse to avoid being abandoned. Some victims of Munchausen's by proxy are at risk of repeating the cycle of abuse. So as always, the earlier you can intervene and get treatment and therapy, I think the better off your recovery is going to be, but it's hard.
I mean, okay, so in today's society, what would we be looking for people? I mean, you look for like kids that are missing a lot of school, right? Because they're always sick.
Yep.
You look for repeat visits to doctors. Like we said, the records online, if they're going
to... Doctor hopping.
Yep, it's doctor hopping. They show up with an arm sling at school. They show up with a neck brace. They... I don't know, just one thing after another. They're sitting on the sideline with a cast on all the time. They can't participate in activities. Yeah. And
yeah, and none of that's normal. I mean, to have those happen every now and again, yes, that's a normal part of being a kid. But to have it always happening to one kid all the time, report it.
Or because there's something siblings, going on. Like you said, those, you know, that whole family where eight of the kids had it. I mean, if they're all continuously sick.
Right.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So sources for this, again, mine was Rolling Stones. We've got the Cleveland Clinic, the Hard-Hitting Facts of Psychiatric Times, and childrensminnesota.org.
We're the Shrinks.
And that's a wrap.